My name is Scott Harris, and I'm very happy to welcome to our program right now Arthur Stamoulis. He is Executive Director of the group, the Citizens Trade Campaign. Arthur, thank you for being here tonight.
Well, thanks for having me.
With a lot of discussion in Washington, D.C. About jobs in this country and deficits and taxation and a presidential election coming up, free trade agreements have entered the dialogue. And we heard President Obama in a speech not too long ago advocate for passage of pending free trade agreements that were initiated under the Bush administration with Panama, Colombia, and South Korea. And I know there are many labor activists who are very skeptical about these trade agreements and have a lot of qualms with President Obama's push to get them passed through Congress. What can you tell us about these agreements?
Yeah, well, people are right to be skeptical about them. Free trade agreements are by no means job creation plans. You know, we should have recognized that after the past 15 years plus under NAFTA, under the WTO. And the trade agreements with Korea, with Colombia, with Panama, it's the biggest package of free trade agreements in a decade. The Korea Free Trade Agreement is, in fact, the largest free trade agreement since NAFTA. And these are trade agreements that even the federal government's own International Trade Commission predicts are going to increase the overall U.S. trade deficit. You know, the ITC, the International Trade Commission, doesn't attach job numbers to that, but it makes sense. If you're selling less than what you're buying, if you're importing more than you're exporting, these are going to be net job killers. And just like, you know, every dollar of exports means a potential job in the U.S., every dollar of imports means a potential job loss. And unfortunately, especially with a trade deal like Korea, we're going to be importing more cars, we're going to be importing more high-tech products, we're going to be importing more green tech products. You know, the high-paying manufacturing jobs and the high-tech jobs that are supposed to represent the jobs of the future are going to be lost under these trade deals.
Now, these were negotiated under the George W. Bush administration, and labor has long said unless there is protection for U.S. jobs, as well as major protections for workers in these countries and environmental concerns addressed, that these agreements really harken back to the same problems we saw unfold with NAFTA. What's the Obama administration stand on really strengthening the position of labor in these agreements and environment as well, environmental standards that seem to be lacking in these countries, which really lures big companies in this country to move overseas where they don't have to be regulated as much?
Well, that's absolutely right. The Obama administration tinkered around the edges of the Korea Free Trade Agreement. You know, it did open slightly better access for U.S. cars in South Korea, although the agreement is still supposed to dramatically increase our trade deficit in cars with South Korea if it moves forward. In terms of the environment, the Obama administration actually required South Korea to weaken its environmental and consumer safety regulations to get more U.S. SUVs in there, so that clearly is not a step forward. And, you know, you're right. I mean, these are trade deals that George W. Bush negotiated over 3 years ago that he was never able to get through Congress, that President Obama himself campaigned against when he was running for office, and unfortunately has now sort of picked up and dusted off and championed it as his own. The Korea Free Trade Agreement is a trade deal that the Economic Policy Institute predicts, if enacted, will cost Korean imports will cost 888,000 American jobs within just 7 years. Now, obviously, we'll you know, create some jobs due to new exports too, but nowhere near that many. And again, these are good paying, you know, high union density manufacturing jobs, high tech jobs being lost to South Korea, where, you know, it's not a country as bad as Colombia, which is the deadliest country in the world to be a trade union member, and has horrendous, you know, human rights violations and labor rights violations. But, it, you know, it's a country where workers are paid a lot less, and there's actually a provision in the Korea Free Trade Agreement called Rule of Origin that would allow up to 65% of the value of a good assembled in South Korea to come from third-party countries like China, like Vietnam, even North Korea, under this trade agreement, and to enter the United States duty-free. And that's one reason why, in addition to U.S. Unions opposing this, South Korean unions oppose it too, because they recognize this as furthering the race to the bottom and allowing more and more production to move to countries with less and less rights for workers, for the environment, for consumer protection.
Arthur, you really talk about who the you've talked about who the losers are with these trade agreements. Who are the big winners if these agreements should pass through Congress?
Well, Wall Street is one of the biggest winners. They want to get into these foreign markets, sell their financial services. They also use these trade deals as a way to lock in the radical financial deregulation of years past. And so the Korea Free Trade Agreement, for example, Citibank has called, I think, the best financial services agreement of all time. It basically handcuffs government's ability to regulate against too big to fail, to regulate against toxic derivatives, to create firewalls between commercial and investment banks, to institute capital controls to sort of try to prevent the spread of global financial crises. So Wall Street is a big, big winner. Companies like Walmart, which want access to cheaper and cheaper goods, you know, no matter where they come from, are big winners under this. And then the offshores, the manufacturers that don't really have any loyalty to their American workforce and are looking for that cheapest labor wherever they can find it, they're pushing these trade deals too. So, you know, I mean, just like NAFTA, just like the WTO, these are being pushed by, you know, some of the big bad players on Wall Street and in corporate America, and they come at the expense of working people, the environment, consumers, just about everybody.
We're speaking tonight with Arthur Stamoulis, Executive Director of Citizens Trade Campaign, which is a coalition of groups, right, Arthur, that is opposing these trade agreements being passed through Congress. Maybe you could talk a little bit about the coalition.
Sure. So we're a coalition of labor, environmental, family, farm, consumer, faith, and social justice organizations that works together to stop the expansion of these job-killing NAFTA-style trade agreements and to promote, you know, a positive vision for international trade. Trade policy doesn't have to be this way. Lots of times we get pigeonholed as being anti-trade just because we oppose trade policies like NAFTA, like the WTO, like these pending free trade agreements with South Korea, Panama, and Colombia. Nothing can be further from the truth. What we want are trade policies that actually lift living standards for working people at home and around the world, rather than these policies that make it easier for large corporations to shift jobs around the globe to wherever labor is the most exploited and environmental regulations are the weakest. You know, these trade pacts should not be a special bill of rights for large corporations. They should be crafted in a way that actually benefits working people, that make sure that we're importing safe products that we actually need, and that, you know, American jobs are protected and that workers' rights are protected abroad.
Are there any models out there? Do you see any models out there for a fair trade agreement internationally that might be a good model that we could follow here if we were to remake these trade agreements away from the sort of corporate benefit model?
Yeah, there's a bill that's been before Congress called the Trade Act. It's an acronym for the Trade Accountability Development and Employment Act that was introduced by Mike Michaud in the House, Sherrod Brown in the Senate, that about two-thirds of Democrats in the House signed on to as co-sponsors, that sets a very clear path forward on international trade that's endorsed by the AFL-CIO, by Change to Win, by the Sierra Club, Friends of the Earth, you know, the Family Farm Coalition, many, many other organizations that, you know, would allow us to continue expanding international trade, but in a way that protects workers' rights, that protects the environment, that makes sure that corporations don't get special access to tribunals that overturn our laws and our regulations and even our court decisions. And that's a model that's out there that we can point to that has a lot of support in Congress right now. Unfortunately, for whatever reason, the Obama administration has decided to take a step backwards and go back to the old Bush-negotiated business-as-usual model. And if it moves forward, it's going to hurt our economy, it's going to hurt the environment, it's going to hurt a lot of working people. And yeah, maybe it'll pad a few corporations' bottom lines for a couple years, but it's not what we need right now in this country.
Given that unemployment is really the top issue for most Americans right now, and the prospect that these free trade agreements with Colombia, South Korea, and Panama will cost additional U.S. jobs at a time when we have more than 9% unemployment rate. What are the chances for passage in Congress? How hard is the Obama administration pushing? And what's the breakdown in terms of Democrats and Republicans willing to sign on to this thing when joblessness is really issue number one?
Well, that's an interesting question of just how hard the Obama administration will push. Clearly, the vast majority of Democrats are going to vote against these job killers. We've been, working hard throughout the country to make sure that elected officials know what the federal government's own studies say about these trade agreements, what labor unions and environmental groups and family farmers are saying about these trade agreements. So the vast majority of Democrats are going to vote against this. The problem in the House is that Republicans control the majority. And so the question is, are the freshman sort of Tea Party Republicans who ran against free trade agreements and talked about the offshoring of jobs in many, many districts throughout the country, during the last election, are they going to sort of go with the big corporations and the party bosses, or are they going to go with their base? Because, if you look at the polls, Democratic, Republican, Independent, working people, middle-class people across the political spectrum know that free trade agreements are job killers. They oppose these type of trade deals. And the question is, is Congress going to listen to Wall Street or their constituents? And the answer to that question, as always, sort of depends on how loud constituents make their voices heard.
Your coalition, as well as the AFL-CIO, is poised to oppose these free trade agreements ratification in Congress. How far are you guys willing to go? How much time and energy are you prepared to devote to defeat of these trade agreements?
Well, certainly for Citizens Trade Campaign, we're going all in. We've got on-the-ground coalitions, throughout the state that sort of replicate our national model at the local level. People have been, bird-dogging elected officials at town halls who haven't, years after these trade agreements were introduced, are still saying they're undecided. We've been doing, in-district lobby visits. We've been doing phone banking. We've done door-to-door canvasses. In some instances, we've done pickets and protests. We're going to make sure that elected officials are held accountable. That they know that they don't have a free pass passing a NAFTA-style job-killing trade agreement in an economy like this. It's just not going to happen. Voters are going to pay attention. One of the hardships we face is that, Fox News, sort of the corporate media, isn't always apt to cover this issue as in-depth as they should. So we rely a lot on community media, independent media, and word of mouth from individuals to spread the word and let their neighbors, their friends, their coworkers know that these things are going on. And that's honestly what it's going to take to stop them.
Well, Arthur, before we run out of time, I wanted to ask you about another issue regarding free trade. There have been talks recently on something called the Trans-Pacific Free Trade Agreement involving many nations in the Pacific Basin. And I wonder if you would explain to our listeners where these talks are headed, what's at stake, and your view on the Obama administration's handling of this new trade agreement being negotiated.
Yeah, so the Trans-Pacific Free Trade Agreement is a new Pacific Rim trade deal under negotiation between the United States and nine other countries in North, South America, Asia, the Pacific Rim. this is the Obama administration's first deal that they're negotiating from scratch. So, there's no excuse. This is the trade agreement that the Obama administration wants. And right now, most of the negotiating documents are secret. What has been leaked suggests that this is very much, unfortunately, a business-as-usual trade deal. And so we've been out there, letting the administration know, trade negotiators know, that we expect a fair deal or no deal, that, we're not going to put up with another NAFTA. One of the big reasons that corporations are pushing for this deal is because they feel Chinese workers are being paid too much. First our jobs went from the U.S. to Mexico, then from Mexico to China, and now the manufacturers are saying, the Chinese are demanding too much and being paid too much. We need to move these jobs to countries like Vietnam and Malaysia. That is a race to the bottom that no working person in any country is ever going to win. That's something we need to reverse. And if we're going to have a free trade agreement for the Pacific Rim, it has to have clear, strong, enforceable labor standards. It needs to have better standards on the environment and consumer protection. There needs to be a clear mandate protecting access to generic medications for sick people. And there needs to be better respect for family farmers. And if we don't get that, we're going to be fighting this trade deal just as hard.
Now, I've read that health issues, access to pharmaceuticals and a whole range of other health-related issues are a real hang-up here in these trade talks on the Trans-Pacific Free Trade Agreement. Could you explain a little bit about that?
Yeah, so big pharmaceutical companies like to use trade deals like this pending Trans-Pacific Free Trade Agreement to extend the life of patents on their brand name medications. A lot of developing countries for many years wouldn't even put patents on medication. They thought, medicine is something that people should have a right to and shouldn't be patented. In the United States, we have a different view, but these drug companies have tried to go beyond what's even required by U.S. law, what's even required by the World Trade Organization, to extend the life of patents for more and more years. And so when you take, certain HIV medications, AIDS medications, that can cost, when they're brand names, upwards of $15,000 per patient per year. When you compare that with the generic versions, which cost around $86 per year, you see the difference. For the United States, for rich countries, that's a huge amount of money out of our pockets going into these drug companies' hands. And for developing countries, it just means that people are going to die. And so that's one of the big focuses of the Trans-Pacific trade deal. Unfortunately, the Obama administration seems to have tabled proposed text that would extend the life of drug patents in a lot of various ways, and that's something that we're obviously opposing.
So when does this all come to a head with the Trans-Pacific Free Trade Agreement negotiations?
Well, they were trying to reach a conclusion on this trade deal by November, in time for the APEC meeting in Honolulu. That, it seems pretty clear, is not going to happen. There's still one more round of negotiations before then. But civil society in the U.S. and, so many of the other countries have raised enough of the stink that they're not going to get their way and sort of negotiate a bad deal that quickly. But, nonetheless, these trade agreements are going to come up sooner or later. And we're going to keep, pushing as hard as we can until the deal is done to ensure that we get a fair deal. And, as soon as the text is out there and it's clear that we don't have a fair deal, we're going to shift gears and start opposing this thing as strongly as we can.
All right. Arthur, thank you so much for joining us in explaining these free trade issues. They're not always so clear. And our media really does fail to cover a lot of the nuance and some of the big issues that are left unaddressed by media analysis. So thanks for being here. And leave our listeners with a website or several, if you want, where we can get more information and sort of track these free trade agreements.
Yeah, so listeners can get more information on all these trade deals at our website, citizenstrade.org, that's citizens plural, trade.org. And I would encourage people to call their members of Congress and let them know that they've had enough of job-killing NAFTA-style trade agreements. This Trans-Pacific trade deal will be up sooner or later, but the Korea, Panama, and Colombia free trade agreements could come up for a vote in the next few weeks. So people really need to be letting their members of Congress know that they oppose them.
Well, Arthur, I'm glad to hear you've co-opted the Republican mantra of job killing, which they've applied to all these job creation, you know, some of the Obama administration initiatives on job creation or regulations or whatever else they apply it to. I'm glad you're turning it back on them. That's good.
Oh, thanks.
All right, Arthur, thanks so much for joining us.
Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye. That's Arthur Stamoulis, Executive Director of the Citizens Trade Campaign, citizenstrade.org.